Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It is Friday, January 28th. I am Josh Engelman. I am joined by Adam Scher, and we are brought to you by No House Advantage. We've got a monster 11-game slate to break down coming off of a two-game nothingness of yesterday. So be sure to hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. Adam, did you have enough Anthony Davis yesterday after not thinking he was going to be relevant?
No, I didn't. And it pisses me off because, like, I think the people that I think he was a smart play. I just couldn't get to him. I even gave him 32 minutes, still didn't get there. I don't know. It just makes me mad because, like, obviously I didn't want to just force him into lineups, but anytime you can get him at 7% ownership on a two game slate, like, it's something I would like to do. So it was kind of frustrating that, like, it was like the key to winning was just saying, like, screw it, I'll play 7% on Anthony Davis and hope for the best.
And he hit an absolute ceiling game, 1.84 FanDuel points per minute in 34 minutes. Even if you're still giving him 32, like, that's about as good of a game you're going to get out of Anthony Davis as you possibly can. You
know, right, I gave him 32 minutes. I didn't have him shooting 85% from the field or whatever he did.
No, nor should you. Nor should you. So interesting slate yesterday. Happy that the two-gamer is gone. We've got 11 to talk about today. Couple games look great. Couple games don't look great. Seems to be par for the course as of now. But I'm ready to dive into it if you are. Do I have the times on these games right? Do the Bucks and Knicks really play at 10 o'clock tonight? Or is my schedule just stupid?
I don't know yet.
That can't be right, can it? Why would they play that late? This is per basketball or the basketball reference schedule yesterday. So, like, there's no... Can that be real?
It looks real to me.
Why in the world are they playing?
I assume it's a makeup game and that somebody's traveling from somewhere, but nobody played yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That's a really weird game to be at 10 o'clock. If you told me that was 9 and the Minnesota Phoenix game was at 10, that would make some sense. But I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I have no idea what time zone the Milwaukee Bucks play in. Anything that's like to the left of Pennsylvania, but to the right of California, I have no idea where those times
are. Pretty sure they're central.
Seems reasonable to me. That would have been my guess. They could be that ever elusive mountain time zone that I don't really
know. They're definitely not that. I get confused on how far west the eastern time zone actually goes. Like, they're either eastern, or central. They're not any further west than that.
I get incredibly confused by where New Orleans is too. Because that feels
way further east than you would think. Right.
So I think it's actually way further west than I normally think. I think so. Let me just double check that. But there are locations in the United States where I don't really know where they actually exist. Yeah, no, it's way further west than I think.
It's like Louisiana's next to east of Texas, right?
New Orleans is basically a straight line down from St. Louis.
Okay, yeah, I think I knew that.
St. Louis, Memphis, New Orleans are on like the same longitude line. And sure, that blows my mind. I think of New Orleans being so much like, as weird as it sounds, like closer to like Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's the left hooking part of Florida that really messes me up. It stretches so far to the left that it really breaks everything for me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what happened when Florida, Georgia, and Alabama had to break out all of like the location, like who gets what, but there's no reason that all of that left handle of Florida shouldn't belong to Alabama. Alabama just gets this little sliver, and then they got to give up all the shit on the right-hand side.
Makes I think no you could argue that Alabama should probably have less area.
And Florida should have more? I don't think either one of those two states deserve all that much of anything. Would we be really that sad if Florida just broke off into the Atlantic Ocean and floated away near like Bermuda?
As long as Miami just gets like anchored down.
That'd be fine. Miami is like the United States Cuba at that point.
Yeah. It just turns into like Miami Island.
I bet that would be a really fun place to go. It would be like an everyday fire festival.
Right.
What a way to start this show. Let's just talk about basketball because that seems like it's a lot better than Josh and Adam learn geography. The Detroit Pistons are 2-point underdogs in Orlando. This is the only game tipping off at 7 o'clock, and boy, oh boy, is this a steaming pile of garbage. Thank God Cade Cunningham is in this game. We've got Sadiq Bey, 27% owned on FanDuel, where he's 5,600. Cade is about 10% owned across both sites. Isaiah Stewart is about 10% owned across both sites. And I think the moral of this story is we probably play a little bit of Sadiq Bey on FanDuel, and maybe you get to Cade Cunningham or Isaiah Stewart, but there aren't really priorities for Detroit unless Cade's going for 70 fantasy points again.
You just lost the only person in chat that actually still liked you by trying to kick Florida into the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
I mean, am I wrong, though? What are we missing here? I will not miss it at all.
I mean, I like Florida, but again, just give me Miami.
I like the temperature, generally speaking.
I like the temperatures. I like the beaches. I like the way people look.
Florida's like East Coast Mexico.
Yeah.
Like it just sticks out of the side. I don't know. Feels like it should be a different country.
Anyway, Cade Cunningham looks pretty good. 7,700 for him on DraftKings looks fine coming off the monster game. Obviously, don't expect a repeat performance there, but it is a good matchup against Orlando. He's going to get a lot of opportunities. He should play 34 minutes or so, assuming the game's competitive. Beyond that, if you want to take some shots at Bay, Lyles, Stewart, that's fine. Wouldn't play Stewart and Lyles together, but nothing that really stands out to me beyond Cade Cunningham.
I know, it's kind of just bleak here for Detroit. And it's not that kind of slate where we're on the search for like all sorts of additional plays. We've got 11 games. This has a 211 total. We've got games with 228, 232, 230, 231. This is just not naturally going to be that game. And they play, you know, 10 guys, 24 minutes apiece, more or less. Doesn't make it easier there. I wish I had more to talk about from Detroit, but I don't.
Somebody said New Orleans is near Montreal. Montreal messes me up. Like, I think Montreal, where I think Montreal is like north of Minnesota. Where it really is east of Toronto. And that really throws me off.
Montreal is slightly east of New York City.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
I would put it where Toronto is. And I would put Toronto further to the left, too.
In my mind, I think it's because of being like growing up a baseball fan. So you have Toronto in the east, and then like there's no Montreal teams or anything. Like, yeah. Toronto is the easternmost big city in Canada in my head. Sure. Ottawa is to the west of it. Montreal is to the west of that. And that's just all completely ass backwards.
Yep, absolutely. I don't know anything about Canada. They are our neighbors to the north. How many Canadian provinces do you think you can name? I know I can name a bunch, and then I'd probably name cities that aren't
I probably could name them all if I had to. I think I could for sure name like, what are there, 11? I think I could name like 8 probably for sure.
I'd get a couple things right just because of wrestling. Like I would know that Calgary is in Alberta because of Bret Hart. But other than that, I don't know shit about Canada.
Oh, if I have to tell you what province cities are in, then I'm probably in trouble. But I can name provinces.
Alberta's the only one that I know that I could get right. And then obviously Quebec City in Quebec, because I would be a real moron if I got that one wrong.
Yeah, Toronto's in Ontario. I know that.
I would get that one right too, because I'm just used to hearing sports say Toronto, Ontario, Canada as like a whatever. It's not important. It's
the only place in Canada I've been, so I know that one.
I've only been to, why am I missing it? Oh, Niagara Falls, which is.
Yeah, I've been there on the way to Toronto.
Barely Canada. Got to use their silly money, which is all that really matters. All right, let's go to Orlando, a team that's way more fun to talk about. I'm just kidding. It's Cole Anthony season once again. 6,400 on FanDuel, 6,800 on DraftKings. He is the highest owned guy on the Orlando Magic. 28% on FanDuel is a healthy number, but I also agree with it. Wendell Carter's around, you know, 10 to 15% owned. Mo Bamba for 4,800 on FanDuel, pulling some love. Franz Wagner, 17% on DraftKings. Seems like there's a lot more to like from Orlando, or at least a lot more that seems playable from Orlando. I don't know if we like it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, Anthony's price tag still looks very good. 6,800 on DraftKings. Even the bad version of Anthony's averaging over a fantasy point per minute. The good version should be back sooner or later. Franz Wagner at 5,600 looks fine. Carter Jr.'s price tag came down to 67. That looks okay. Bamba looks okay. I mean, it's a good matchup. I think Anthony's the priority, though.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page there for Anthony.
And my train is canceled.
Oh. Well, I mean, that makes my decision
easier.
Yeah. I'd rather it be like that, you know?
Yeah. Well, actually, it kind of doesn't, because I was never taking that train anyway. I was deciding if I'm leaving tonight or just getting snowed in.
That's fair. Well, it certainly helps at least a little bit. Are you going to be casting a wide net here for Orlando?
Probably, because I do think there's a ceiling on a lot of them. Like, Anthony's the only one I really feel confident in, but all of Carter, Wagner, Suggs, Bamba can certainly get you there.
Yeah. This is a game where I don't know if, like, you're going to want to have a lot of it, or when push comes to shove, you'll want none of it. But I feel like there's going to be options on both sides, because I don't trust who wins this game. I don't have anything else for Detroit or Orlando.
Me neither. I'm having way more fun in chat.
That's fine by me. It's fine by me. Boston at Atlanta. Hold on. Nope. All right. Boston at Atlanta. Boston 2-point dogs, 218.5 total. And this one's pretty normal. Like, everybody that's available for Boston is available. Like, everybody's just in. Everybody's just in for Atlanta. There is no ownership coming to the Boston Celtics. 2.4% owned. Tatum and Brown is the high on DK. We get Robert Williams and Al Horford around 10% on FanDuel, where the positional eligibility is a little bit better. Are you going to get any Boston today?
Nothing really stands out. I mean, kind of the same thing that it seems like we always say when Tatum and Brown are healthy. If you get to them in tournaments, that's fine. They're going to be pretty low owned. They're both good. Like, they can score 55 points, but it's unlikely. And on a slate like this, there's going to be spots you can get to that are low owned that are just more likely to succeed. Robert Williams has been playing well, playing a lot of minutes, still a center, still kind of just there. Al Horford looks like he's probably the best value, but that's also Al Horford. And, you know, not the safest play there either. So definitely not a team that I really like that much.
Yeah, they don't look appealing in the slightest. They might actually be the worst team that you can get to on DK today, which, again, we'll talk this into existence. I'm sure Boston Atlanta is going to OT and making one of these guys be super relevant. I don't have anything else to say about the Boston Celtics.
Me neither.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Atlanta's becoming a little bit more complicated, but it's pretty easy today. This isn't a very good DFS game. Trae Young is 12% owned on FanDuel. The next highest owned guy in this game on either FanDuel or DraftKings is 0.8% owned DeAndre Hunter on FanDuel. There is no ownership coming into Atlanta. Do you see it differently? Because I think there's one piece here that's getting slept on, and that's $4,400 Bogdan Bogdanovic, because if he gets more minutes, I think he's a little bit too cheap.
Yeah, I'm with you there. If you get him up to like 28 minutes, he looks pretty good at 4,400. Yeah, I mean, this is just another team. Like, I hate talking about teams like this, but it's just like, obviously you can play Trae Young, Clint Capella, John Collins. I'm playing a lot of them. They're kind of just guys where if I have a chalkier lineup and I need a guy with a ceiling that nobody else is playing, I'll go to one of those guys. But there's just nothing that really stands out.
Rough start for these first two games. I think it's going to be a little bit easier for us to talk about our schedule for the rest of the day. At 11 a.m. Eastern time, we've got NFL On the Contrary. At 12:30, we've got the NFL Tournament Strategy Show. At 1 o'clock, the Yahoo NFL Show. NHL Strategy Show is coming at 2. We've got the Prize Picks NFL Show at 4. Adam, you will not be back for the deeper dive today. Although, on the off chance that you are not going to that hockey game, don't be afraid to shoot me a DM if you want to take your show back.
Well, if I'm not going to that hockey game, I'm on a train. So,
okay. I'm just kidding. I don't have anything else going on and I'm happy to do the show. I don't have to host it. So it's like, I don't really have to actually prepare for it either. What up, Laffy? 4:45 NBA deeper dive myself and Laffy. And who knows, at the rate he and I normally do shows, we might just cancel Live Before Lock. Live Before Lock should be up at 6 p.m. NBA player rankings, NHL top stacks, and MMA rankings are all free for today. Now we've got a game that we can talk about. Although the Lakers side of this one is a pure question mark. LeBron James did not play yesterday. We have no concept of their injury report right now because they are on a back-to-back. Anthony Davis did tweak his wrist a little bit, and they want to check that out. It didn't seem to matter all that much for him finishing with the best fantasy score of the day. I think that one of these two guys doesn't play. And for now, I'm assuming LeBron plays and Anthony Davis doesn't. I don't have a clue which one that's going to be, but I think that if you want to be honest, it might just be a 25% chance that all four combinations of LeBron in, AD in, LeBron in, AD out, vice versa, both out. I think they're all on the table today.
If I had to guess, LeBron and Davis sit, but again, that's purely a guess. I think LeBron's knee thing is legit. And Davis, I think, is actually a legit injury too, just based on his comments and stuff. But again, like,
plus the back-to-back for him,
right? Yeah, plus the back-to-back. I mean, we'll have this information. I assume it's a 7:30 game. But yeah, that would be my guess. But right now, it's just kind of if they're all in, then none of them look that great. If LeBron is out and Davis is in, Davis and Westbrook look good. If Davis is out and LeBron is in, LeBron looks good. If they're both out, Russ looks good. Monk looks better. I mean, there's a million different ways this can go, but the matchup is really good.
My assumption for LeBron was just simply that if they knew he wasn't going to play today, I think they rule him out already yesterday for both of them. And he just goes home. Like, he's the type of guy that doesn't need to get treatment on the road.
Yeah, sure. That's true. I don't know. I saw a video of him warming up like and grimacing like every time he put weight on his knee. It didn't
not good.
Yeah. Like normally you'll see, it'll be like, oh, they're warming up. And you'll like, when you watch the video, it's like, oh, they look fine. And then 30 minutes later, they're like, they're not playing. Yeah. The clip I saw of LeBron warming up, like, it was very clear he was not playing yesterday. Okay. So that kind of concerns me. And I'd said it to Laffy on the deeper dive, the way this played out just reminds me of, I think it was last year, maybe it was 2 years ago, where LeBron just out of nowhere got like a Q tag, was day to day. Kept being out, eventually was out like 6 weeks. Like, that's the first thing this reminded me of. I just have a feeling LeBron misses time.
Okay. Well, then, if that's the case.
But again, that's not based on anything other than me guessing.
Yeah, and we're hypothesizing on something that's probably not all that important. The only reason that it matters is because they were on a back-to-back, and we don't have any info right now. 7:30 start. At the very least, we're going to have more details before lock. So just pay attention to it. Let's go with your assumption then. How much Russell Westbrook is too much Russell Westbrook today if they both sit? 7,800 on FanDuel, 8,600 on DraftKings. I mean, if they're both out in that $7,800 price tag on FanDuel, I don't give a shit how bad he's been.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I approached it yesterday too, and that didn't work. But I would go right back. Like, if they're both out, I don't really know how you don't play Westbrook at this price in this spot.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's been horrible, but if they're both out, there's so much just opportunities for him.
I mean, 7,800 for Russell Westbrook on FanDuel. If this were just simply a year ago at this moment, and you knew you were getting Russell Westbrook for 7,800 on FanDuel, you'd have to have 100%. Matter the slate size, no matter what happens, like, even when he fails, he succeeds.
Right.
It's nuts. So I don't know really what to do here. Does anybody else come into play in a more interesting manner if we lop those guys off, or if we have one of them? Like Malik Monk for 4,500 seems to be the guy that's most likely to get a benefit here.
Yeah, Monk would be the next guy. I mean, he started yesterday. I assume he would start today. If you want to buy into the revenge narrative, he is playing at Charlotte too, which is nice. But 4,500 for Monk would look good. Talen Horton Tucker should play more at 3,600, especially if both guys are out. Yeah. If Davis is out, Melo should play more at 4,400. Stanley Johnson looks safer at 3,400. Like, as guys get ruled out, these guys all just start to look better. The issue is that most of them still suck from a DFS standpoint. So Monk would be the one that I think you definitely get to first, because he's the one that actually produces reasonably well.
All righty. Here's the real tricky piece of this. How many minutes do you expect Anthony Davis to play if he plays? 36?
Yeah, 34, 36, somewhere in
there. That's terrifying. Because it just strikes me as he's playing 28 now today.
Yeah.
Not fun here for the Lakers, but don't really have anything else that we could possibly say now. On the Charlotte side, however, we are going to be just absolutely smashing this team in a truly aggressive manner. They're already missing some bodies. They're getting an absolutely perfect matchup that could only get better if they start lopping off LeBron James or Anthony Davis. For Charlotte, we're missing Gordon Hayward. We're missing Jalen McDaniels. There's a Q tag on Kelly Oubre coming off of his monster game. Let's just assume Kelly Oubre is in for right now. His price is fine, but Miles Bridges, price is coming down, 7,700 and 7,600. LaMelo Ball is 25% owned on both sites. Cody Martin is 28% owned on FanDuel at 4,300. Mason Plumlee is pulling 15%+ ownership. PJ Washington, still not getting the minutes, 25% owned on FanDuel, 10% on DraftKings. We're just going to play a lot of Charlotte no matter what news we get for Los Angeles, correct?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, LaMelo at 8,400 looks fantastic. Looks like the number one guy there, but Bridges, yeah. Rozier, Washington, Plumlee, even Oubre at 5,700. I mean, he can get you 28, 30 minutes. Martin at 4,400 looks like a good value. Just mixing and matching pretty much all the Charlotte guys. I would just say you don't want Washington and Plumlee together, and LaMelo is the clear top guy.
Not that I disagree with you on LaMelo, because he looks exceptional. I don't think Bridges is too far behind.
I would agree with that. I think Bridges is
36 minutes. Price is coming down. Small forward, power forward. I have them as basically equals relative to salary. Clearly the higher raw point ceiling for Ball.
Yeah. I have Ball 1, Bridges 2. Everyone else kind of looks the same.
Yep. We're on the same page there. I don't know if you said his name. I know I didn't. I like Terry Rozier. Doesn't seem as good as everybody else. I don't know if that's just a salary thing or.
Yeah, he's one of the guys that I think is just kind of there. You're likely to get, 34 minutes or so. 7,600 looks fine. I would get to Bridges before I got to Rozier at that same price, but okay. I think that's probably going to be the consensus opinion as well.
Okay, we're on the same page there then. Let's say Oubre's out. Who does it impact? Book Knight clearly has been getting more minutes and could potentially get more. I think Cody Martin just locks into 34 minutes or more. But what is the real benefit if we actually don't get Oubre? Everything we already said looks great still.
Right, yeah, everything there looks better. PJ Washington probably has to play more.
You would think. I think Book that Knight, every day, though.
Book Knight at 3,300 probably becomes an option.
Ish Smith probably just plays because at that point, and then I don't know who, if anybody else enters the rotation. Like, they're weird enough that they might just not do anything and everybody plays 40 minutes.
Right. I mean, Smith wasn't in the rotation last game. I think you could see him just end up being LaMelo's backup, and then Book Knight plays like 20, 22 minutes, something like that. They also could just play 40 minutes of Ball, Bridges, Rozier.
Charlotte looks exceptional is the moral of this story. Yep. Pay attention to Oubre, but otherwise play everybody else you think is going to play 20 plus minutes. And play them pretty aggressively too, as far as I'm concerned. They look fantastic. Great matchup, great pace, great everything. So that's all I got for Charlotte. Another game that looks exceptional, which is really what makes the Detroit, Orlando, Boston, Atlanta games look terrible. Portland is a 2-point favorite in Houston, 232 total. Portland's just snake bit right now. Larry Nance out, Lillard obviously out, Zeller obviously out. Nas Little now picked up an injury. He's going to be out for the rest of the season. Robert Covington is questionable. DSJ is questionable. CJ Ellaby is doubtful. McCollum to me looks amazing. You know, he's like a 20% owned guy. I think he's definitely a guy that you should be prioritizing. But Norm Powell, 6,100 on DraftKings, played 36 minutes the last time out. No reason to suspect that goes away. Simons plays 36 minutes or more every game at 6,800. That looks really good on DK. Nurk looks solid across both sites. Covington, if he plays, I still like because he's going to play, you know, you would expect 36 minutes. Lots to like here in this Portland starting lineup.
Yeah, for sure. I have no idea why CJ McCollum continues to be as inexpensive as he is now that he's back to playing 37, 38 minutes in competitive games. He's like a 1.1 DraftKings point per minute guy without Lillard. Then you account for the matchup against Houston, which makes it look a little bit better. Just really difficult for him to actually fail at this price and certainly can give you a massive game. Nurkic at 8K looks good, assuming you're going to get, you know, 32 or so minutes there, could get more. But in a competitive game, I think that's a pretty safe projection. Simons is playing a lot. He's down to 6,800. Norman Powell, 6,100, coming off of a game where he played 35 minutes. So no real reason to think he's limited anymore in his return. All of these guys look really good.
Yep, we are on the exact same page there.
I wanted to see how many minutes we have with McCollum on and Lillard off for Norman Powell, because he was a usage monster in general without Lillard, but some of that was without McCollum.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. 545 total minutes for Powell this season. God, I hate when it does that. It left Lillard on, even though I took Lillard off. But 149 total minutes this year with CJ McCollum on and Lillard off. Only a 21% usage rate for Powell, 0.84 DraftKings points per minute. So that's kind of interesting to me. Like he's still at a price point where, given his playing time and the matchup, I think he looks good. But I did expect him to have a higher usage rate when I looked at that.
So did I, actually. So there is that. What happens here if Covington doesn't play? DSJ not being in doesn't really matter at this point. With Simons playing so many minutes, not sure that it really affects anything if he's in or out, but if Covington doesn't play, it really does.
I mean, I think most of it goes to Tony Snell, so it kind of doesn't.
Nah, that's fair. Tony Snell is a steaming pile of garbage when it comes to DFS, so then I don't have anything else to add.
Yeah.
Play a lot of the Portland starters, because pace up spot against Houston, who's not very good, is definitely a recipe to have a good night. Houston side. No one on the DraftKings side is in double digits in ownership. It's 7.7% owned Jalen Green at the top. We've got Christian Wood, Kevin Porter, and Jayshon Tate all just north of 10% on FanDuel. And the problem here is I like most of the pieces for Houston, but they're all like 5 to 10%ers. No priorities, easy filler up and down the lineup.
Yeah, it feels like we've been saying the same thing about Houston like night in and night out recently, because they just never look the best, because there's going to be teams that are banged up. There's going to be teams that just have better players in their price ranges or at their positions. But at the same time, this is another pretty good matchup against Portland. We know the type of ceiling Christian Wood gives you. Kevin Porter Jr. is likely to give you 32 to 34 minutes if this game's competitive. Tate, Gordon, Green, like those guys are all just fine. I think Christian Wood looks the best, but he's also a center, so that is, you know, an issue. Like, he's $200 more than Yusuf Nurkic. But yeah, it's just a team where I'm more than happy to just round out a lineup with these guys, but I don't think I'm building around any of them.
Yeah, they do look just slightly better on FanDuel than they do on DraftKings. No surprises there. Like, Christian Wood's got the power forward eligibility. You're just naturally going to get to him more frequently when you can. But I'm with you. Like, there aren't priorities. They're just very nice to haves.
One slight negative just to mention is that it doesn't sound like we're going to be getting any Christian Wood alongside Shane Yoon for the foreseeable future. Stephen Silas said that the eye test and the numbers do not support playing them next to each other. I'm not exactly sure how he reconciles even putting a team on the floor if we're going by the eye test and the numbers, but that seems to be a spot where he's going to draw the line and just play them at center. So for one, that's not great for Şengün, because you're talking 16 minutes as, you know, a medium projection instead of like 20. But it's also not ideal for Wood, because it's that situation where if you play Şengün next to Wood, you can give Wood like 38 minutes and still get Şengün to 18. But if you assume that you're going to just try and give Şengün like 16 minutes a night, Wood can't play more than 32 if you're not playing them alongside each other.
It's a very good point. I wish they would do a little bit more of those two guys together, because why the hell not? Like, just play your best guys as much as you possibly can. See what you
have. That's why I kind of laughed when I saw it. I was just like, really? You're drawing the line on not playing Şengün because you don't think he's a good fit alongside Wood, which, like, I'm sure he's right. Like, I have no opinion on that, but who cares?
I mean, like, at least figure it out. Here's the most important to that. Like, do you have Wowie up quickly?
Yeah.
How many minutes have they played together this year? Like, whatever it is, it's a pretty small number. And seems like figuring out whether or not that actually does work.
196 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, just play it more. there's no downside here. And, like, you're not playing for anything.
Right.
Just find out if that works. 190 whatever the hell minutes is not a big enough sample for you to like look at it and think, well, all right, we've made our decision.
Yeah, it's 420 possessions. And I mean, the thing for me is just like, even if it doesn't work, who cares? Just get Şengün on the floor, give him NBA minutes. Like, at the end of the day, would you rather Şengün be sitting on the bench watching Christian Wood play or playing some minutes out of position just to be in an NBA game?
I mean, Wood is the one that's moving to the four in that scenario. So
sure, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Şengün is going to play exactly how they need him to play moving forward. And Christian Wood is likely to not be on Houston potentially at the trade deadline. So right. Maybe don't be so married to that one. All right, we'll go. I don't have anything else for Houston here.
No, me neither.
Gets a little bit more confusing on the next one. Utah, 2.5-point underdogs in Memphis. Rudy Gobert still out. Donovan Mitchell questionable. Now, he's coming back from a concussion. So if he's available, I just assume we get normal 35 minutes from Donovan Mitchell. I put him in at this point. We are giving no ownership to anyone on Utah on DraftKings except for Hassan Whiteside. I actually would like to get to $9,100 Donovan Mitchell if that's a thing. But Donovan Mitchell is $8,200 on FanDuel. Don't be afraid to roster that one if he's in. Whiteside, once again, $6,500. He is the most owned guy in this game. I don't really want much else from Utah other than Mitchell and Whiteside.
Yeah, Whiteside's all that really stands out to me. Played 34 minutes again last game. The minutes are there. It's just a matter of, you know, where the production comes in at. But overall this season, he's around 1.2 DraftKings points per minute. So looks pretty good at 6,900. I don't mind Mitchell at 9,100, but I think there's just going to be better options as well. I mean, for example, LaMelo is $700 less expensive. CJ McCollum is $1,800 less expensive. So it turns into one of those where, like, yeah, if I get to Mitchell, cool. He obviously has a ceiling, but I think he's pretty much priced where he should be while there are a lot of underpriced guys tonight.
Okay. Yeah, I don't really have anything else to say here for Utah. If Mitchell is out again, however, are we going to these pieces, or are they just sort of already priced where they should be?
I think they're already priced where they should be. If Mitchell is out, it makes guys like Bojan Bogdanovic at 6,700 and Clarkson at 7,200 have ceilings. Like, they certainly have a better chance of success if Mitchell is out, because they'll play more and they're going to get more shots up, but they're also priced for that. Like Bojan Bogdanović is absolutely not a $6,700 guy in Utah's normal rotation. Clarkson is, you know, a $5,500 guy or $5,200 guy, whatever he's been all season. So they very clearly have adjusted for Mitchell being out.
Make sure you're aware of which site you're playing on tonight. Mike Conley, 7,100 on DraftKings, 5,800 on FanDuel. Jordan Clarkson, 7,200 on DraftKings, 5,700 on FanDuel. If Mitchell happens to get ruled out, Conley and Clarkson still look fine on FanDuel at those prices. It's the DraftKings ones that are a bitter pill to swallow. Memphis side. This team's pretty normal to talk about here. Still no Dylan Brooks, no Kyle Anderson, no Tyus Jones. It's what we saw the last time out. Newly minted all-star starter Ja Morant, 10% owned on FanDuel, 10% owned on DK. Desmond Bain and Steven Adams both pulling about 10% on ownership on DraftKings. These guys are just priced a little bit better on – they're basically the opposite of Utah. They're priced a bit better on DraftKings than they are on FanDuel. Do you have a priority here for Memphis?
I mean, Ja Morant, obviously.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, he's 10-3. That's still fine. It's a little bit more expensive than he was last game, but you're getting a lot of minutes for him. He played 37 and a half minutes last game. He's really good, obviously, but rates go up even more when Dylan Brooks is out. Still no Brooks, still no Jones, still no Anderson. So those minutes should be there. The usage should be there. I still really like Ja Morant.
Yeah, you and me both. You and me both. I think the ownership at 10% is, you know, perfectly reasonable. Wouldn't mind having a little bit more because he's Ja Morant. I think I like Bane more than I like Morant, just from a like roster construction standpoint. 6,100, shooting guard, small forward, came right back and played a ton of minutes last time out. What do you want to do with the rest of Memphis?
I think Bane looks fine. I think I like Jackson more than I like Bane. 6,700 on DraftKings. Should play around 30 minutes or so, gets a bit of a usage bump also without Dylan Brooks, which is nice. So I'm interested there. Adams sort of as like just filler at 4,700. It's one of those spots where he's pretty clearly a good point per dollar value, but you also have to just consider the position, and that makes him, you know, just more expensive really than 4,700. So he's fine. I don't have any issues with Steven Adams, but you know, also just keep in mind that he's typically not someone that gives you a super high ceiling. DeAnthony Melton played 24 minutes last game. That's something that is always exciting for me because I love excuses to roster that guy. No real confidence that it happens again, but if you want to take some tournament darts, that's fine. But I think to me, Morant is number one. Adams is probably second best when you just in terms of value, but again, the opportunity cost is high. Jackson and Bane, I like both of those guys. Jackson a little bit more.
Okay. And the gap between Bane and Jackson for me is coin flip territory, so I don't have any problems with the Jaren Jackson take, other than the fact that whatever I do with Jaren Jackson, he's just going to do the opposite and has since the moment he entered the league. Yeah. Is there a guy you have less confidence in when you roster him more than Jaren Jackson?
DeAnthony Melton.
There you go. That's fair. Memphis in general. Melton is to Adam as Maxey is to Josh.
Yeah. Except Melton's won Adam 50K this year.
Yeah. Maxey has won me an ulcer, I would imagine. Anything else here from Memphis?
Nope.
All righty. Let's talk a little bit about our presenting sponsor. That would be No House Advantage. And I got a sneaky suspicion that if there's a Russell Westbrook prop here, you're going to want to tackle it. Luckily for us, there are no NBA props available whatsoever at No House Advantage, so we don't even have to dig into that. You can get a $25 deposit bonus if you use the promo code AWESOMO when you sign up. It's a 100% peer-to-peer level contest. There's over 500 player props offered. They've got mass entry capabilities. They've got pretty big prize pools. We have free No House Advantage projections and already generated optimal lineups for you to help you take down the biggest prizes. You can download the app in the App Store or just go straight to nohouseadvantage.com. That'll work for you. If we had some props right now, they aren't posted quite yet. We would talk about them if we could, but you guys should check out No House Advantage. Great place for you to build your bankroll. Maxey will win me the 50K. Trust the process. What I really need him to do is win me the 100K. That would be significantly better. But I will not scoff at the 50. Honestly, I'd take 1,000 at this point.
Did you see that?
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is off topic, but it's just going to be hilarious if it somehow happens. And also, but I have like the eighth best chance of winning golf this week.
Oh, really? I did not see that. Luckily for you, that sounds like a real fun time, I guess.
At this point, I don't even care about the month.
Name two golfers in that lineup.
I think it has Rahm. It has Smalley.
It has to have Rahm and JT, I'm assuming.
It doesn't have Thomas. It has Smalley, who went on a crazy run yesterday.
Okay. I don't even know who that is. That's a made-up person.
Yeah, it's just somebody that's 2% owned that I have a lot of that shot 10 under yesterday.
Got it.
Yeah, no, I mean, the money would be cool, but at this point, I'm just sweating making Rowson as miserable as possible.
That's so great. Shout out to everybody that took Tony Finau in one and done like a dum-dum where he was 20% owned, didn't make the cut, so... Congratulations for getting no money there. If you listen to our betting video with myself and Ben Raza, I gave you guys Luke List, who's currently sitting in fifth, and he is my one and done pick. So I'll take what I can get. Clippers, 6-point dogs in Miami, 210 total. No Marcus Morris in this one. Obviously, no Paul George either. And still no Kawhi Leonard or Jason Preston for the Clippers. Terrence Mann, about 15% owned across both sites. Isaiah Hartenstein, 14% owned on FanDuel, where he's just power forward eligible. Riddle me that one. And then Amir Coffey is 10% owned on FanDuel. Are you prioritizing anything from the LA Clippers today?
Nope.
I agree. I mean, 4K Terrence Mann looks solid, but it's not like he's a good
permanent performer. Yeah, like there's guys that you can go to, but the matchup sucks. The rotation sucks. Like Reggie Jackson at 6,100 in low ownership. Can kill me again at that, you know, at that ownership. Like the ceiling is still there, but he doesn't stand out. Luke Kennard, same kind of thing. Terrence Mann, same kind of thing. Like I think you're just gonna be able to find better plays unless you're specifically just looking for a low owned guy that, you know, could catch lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, I don't have anything else really to talk about for the Clippers, barring somebody else getting ruled out. What's going on with Reggie Jackson's minutes? I know the first. Two games ago, it was, we're going to give up on this game.
Right.
I don't know what happened this last one, but he did it again.
Yeah, like, he was playing horribly in that one as well. Well, he picked up two fouls in the first, like, 2 minutes, so he went to the bench because, obviously, you can't have your point guard be in foul trouble. Yeah, and then basically just played really bad and kept getting benched for the rest of the game.
Fair enough.
Is how it looks to me.
Fair enough. The guys that I've given the most minutes for the Clippers are all in red in per minute rates. All the guys that play the least amount of minutes for the Clippers are all like one fantasy point per minute guys. Everything's flipped on its head here. Yuck. Yuck. Opposite side, Miami Heat. Still no Kyle Lowry in this one. Q tag on Jimmy Butler. Left big toe irritation. No Oladipo, no Markieff Morris, no Casey Akpala, no Chris Silva. Highest owned guy for Miami. 18% owned Bam Adebayo at 8K on FanDuel, I guess. 15% owned on DraftKings at 7,500. And then Tyler Hero is 11% owned. The guy that I like the most is probably Jimmy Butler if he's able to play. Shooting guard, small forward on FanDuel, just 8,700. What stands out to you from Miami? How do you feel about that Bam ownership?
I get it. I think he looks good at 7,500. It seems like it might be a little bit higher than it should be, just given that he's a center and there's plenty of other guys. Like 7,500 is a good value, but even just from guys that we've talked about so far, it's not like it's really difficult to get from Bam to Nurkic or Bam to Christian Wood. So that's already three guys in that range that all look more or less the same. I'm sure there's going to be more that we get to, you know, on this slate as well. So the ownership's kind of strange. But I also get it. Like, he just projects well. He's going to play 32, 33 minutes. Looks fine. I'm with you on Butler. I think he looks good if he's in. 8,700 on DraftKings is a very fair price point. He's around a 1.2 DraftKings point per minute guy. Should give you 36 minutes or so. Hero at 6,400 looks fine. I expect 32 minutes, give or take, from Hero. Should have around a 30% usage rate here. So all three of those guys, I think, are pretty solid plays.
All righty. I don't really have anything else here for this particular game. So let's keep it moving to the Denver Nuggets, 5.5 point favorites in New Orleans, 215 total. Now what?
Someone in chat said, if you watch golf, you need help. And someone else said, says the person watching people talk about fantasy sports.
That's fair.
Very fair.
Everybody that's normally available for Denver is available in this one. And the only guy that I think is really worth anything here, well, half and half. Nikola Jokic, 11-3 on FanDuel, 12-6 on DraftKings. Clearly brings a high ceiling. Will Barton, 5,500 on DraftKings. Just shooting guard eligible, but I think that price works for him. It's mostly just Jokic. And even then, kind of a tough sell.
Yep. I hate talking about Jokic these days because it makes me feel like I'm saying I don't want to roster him when really it's just it ends up being very difficult at that price, especially when Barton is in. If you get to Jokic, if a bunch of value opens up between now and lock and Jokic is easy to get to, then by all means, he's pretty much always going to be the highest projected guy on any slate that he's on. But you're paying for it here. And, you know, we've already gotten to many like just mid-range centers that can go for 40 or 50. And that just makes it so. If you get, like, typically you need guys to exceed their projection anyway to win. But when you talk about the top tier options on a lot of slates, it's like, okay, if they just hit their projection and get me 60 points, like, that's good. But at center and at this price, there's a good chance that enough guys go that are a lot cheaper, go for 45, 50, somewhere in there, that you legitimately need those 70-plus fantasy point games from Jokic. 60 probably isn't getting it done for you.
Not only that, with a slate this size, like, just – for everybody else that's available, Giannis, LeBron, Trey, Sabonis, Morant, Tatum, Murray, if one or two of those centers do provide that information, then you can get any combination of every other position. That guy that goes off then immediately squeezes Jokic out way easier than it happens the opposite direction.
Right, yeah. Yeah,
and I mean, very that's little overlap at the top on center.
Yeah, and yeah, it's a good point. Just even in terms of raw points, like he projects better than everybody else, but the field, like you were just the field, there's a pretty good chance he loses to the field. Just you have to, you know, get which guy. But you know, he's more likely than anyone else in the field to be the top scorer, but the field is still favored.
Exactly. And at center, we just have this never ending supply of 4K to 7K dudes that just make it pretty difficult to want to try to prioritize that side. How do you feel about that Barton price tag, 5,500? Seems like a decent value, but nothing crazy.
Yeah, like I'll get there. It doesn't. I'm not looking at it like, oh, what is DraftKings doing? But I think it's very fair to say he's underpriced.
Alrighty.
He's like a 0.9-ish fantasy point per minute guy playing 34 minutes at 5,500 in a pretty good spot.
Alrighty. Anything else for Denver?
No. I was gonna mention Cousins just because he shot like 15 times in 10 minutes last game, but he's center only. It's still just such a difficult sell.
New Orleans Pelicans. Obviously, they looked a little bit different their last time out than they do today. But Devontae Graham and Joe Val are both off of the injury report. Josh Hart and Brandon Ingram both have Q tags. We haven't seen Brandon Ingram in a bit. Those Q tags will be important. We have no concept if they're playing, but Brandon Ingram has missed his last two. I have them in for right now, and if everybody is in, it's basically $7,400 Joval on FanDuel, $7,900 Joval on DraftKings, and probably nothing else. I think we're going to need to see these guys be out to be interesting.
Yeah, pretty much how I see it as well. Joval looks fine at $7,900. It's another, you know, mid-range center that can go for a massive game. But outside of that, nothing that looks that appealing. If Ingram is out and Hart is out, obviously stuff opens up for, you know, Alexander Walker and Devontae Graham and Herbert Jones looks better. But for now, assuming they're in, I'm basically just interested in Jovell.
Yeah, it's. Pay attention to the news, obviously. Hopefully we get a little bit of this before lock, but Ingram clearly a big swing piece. Hart, obviously a big swing piece. If they both happen to get ruled out, you know, we're going to get to something else on the bench. I'm guessing you and I are on the same page here. Jackson Hayes goes back to being the backup for Joval, and Willie Hernan Gomez goes back to not playing.
Yeah, that's my assumption.
Okay. I got nothing else here for the New Orleans Pelicans.
Nope.
Well, another team that we definitely need more information for, the Indiana Pacers, 1-point underdogs in Oklahoma City. And just in case you ever want to know how not good Caris LeVert is, Indiana is a 1-point underdog in Oklahoma City. Not good. No Miles Turner still, no Malcolm Brogdon still, no TJ McConnell still. Q tag on Domantas Sabonis. So I've got him in. And if that's the case, I don't think you could roster anything on the Indiana side on DraftKings. I think you can get to a little bit of Sabonis and LeVert on FanDuel just because the prices are a little bit better. But if Sabonis happens to be in, this is one of the worst spots you're going to find.
Yep, agreed. His salary didn't come down while he was out. LeVert is expensive. I have a really difficult time getting to anything from Indiana if he's in. If he's out, going back to LeVert makes sense. He's been horrible the last couple of games, but still should get plenty of opportunities if Sabonis is out. It's not a bad matchup, obviously. Goga looks fine at 6,300 if Sabonis is out. But assuming he's in for now, I have nothing on DraftKings.
$5,400 Goga on FanDuel is a price tag that you should probably pay attention to if Sabonis happens to be out. These guys look a lot better on FanDuel than they do on DraftKings.
Yeah. Last game, Goga still only played 18 minutes, but that was the game where they just got destroyed by Charlotte. He had some first half foul trouble as well. He started and basically was on track to play like 17 minutes in the first half. So I do think if Sabonis is out, you can still be relatively confident going to Goga.
Yeah. 32 minutes at, 1.1 fantasy points per minute. It's going to be,
pretty good. The risk would be that against OKC, this is certainly a game where you could just get Brissett at center. Like we did a couple of games ago, but I still think as long as he's playing well, I think Goga gets the minutes.
All righty. Keep your eyes peeled for Sabonis on this one. OKC has actually sort of stabilized their rotation as of late. It's still a bunch of garbage in and around the rest of the team, but we've got Josh Giddey. Stop me if you've heard this before. 31% owned on FanDuel at 5,700. Just to be clear here, that's way too high. I haven't actually checked to see if we're just like perpetually 10% high on Josh Giddey, but don't play 31% Josh Giddey. Play Josh Giddey, but not at that rate. No ownership north of 10% on the DraftKings side. Dort is 20% owned on FanDuel at 4,800. Kenrich Williams is 15% owned on FanDuel at 3,700. What are we doing with OKC?
They're one of these teams that just looks like they have some filler tournament type plays. Obviously, you're never upset about getting to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but I'd rather find $1,000 from Morant or save $2,000 and go to CJ McCollum. There's other options as well. So I think he looks fine, but not a priority for me. Same goes for Giddey. Same goes for Dort. Not a whole lot that stands out here at all.
Yeah. No, the FanDuel prices are better. Like 4,800 for Dort is just a lot better than 5,400 on DK. Giddey is $1,600 cheaper on FanDuel than he is on DraftKings. He's just a wildly different play. Are you reading into the extra minutes for Kenrich Williams their last time out?
On average, I expect him to play around like 24.
Okay.
So what did he do last?
He got 30.
He closed over Robinson Earl. Certainly something that can happen.
Sure. So 0.85 fantasy point per minute guy. I think he's interesting today.
Yeah. Yeah. 3,700. I don't mind it. On average, I think he typically is going to land in that like 24, 25 minute range, but even that makes him like, a decent point per hour option at 3,700. If he does happen to get into the closing lineup, he looks even better.
Yeah. I gave him 24 minutes, which makes him look decent. He's probably over-owned for that right now, but if you're hopeful that he can catch a couple extra minutes, not the worst play in the world. But again, we're through 8 games. There have been very little true priorities here, really up and down the board. This has become it looks like a pretty difficult slate. Now, Chicago, San Antonio, Minnesota, Phoenix, we're going to open some stuff up here, but not the easiest slate at the start of the day.
Yeah, it's making me want to play.
Me too. Luckily, I am. All righty. Well, 3 games to go. Let's talk about one that has a little bit of intrigue. The Chicago Bulls, 2-point favorites in San Antonio, 229 total. We know that the Bulls are without the boss man, Alex Baker. We know that they're without Lonzo Ball, no Derek Jones, no Patrick Williams. So we've got 20% owned Zach LaVine on FanDuel, where he's 7,500. Continue to do that. That's perfectly reasonable ownership. DeRozan and LaVine are both about 10% owned on DK. Vooch pulling a little bit of love at 8,700 on FanDuel, probably a little overpriced on DraftKings. Dosunmu just plays a ton of minutes, but isn't that kind of guy, or at least probably isn't that guy. I mean, 0.7 fantasy points per minute this season, 0.73 in the last 30 days.
Yeah.
It's just,
no, he's one of those guys where, like, I see what he does every night in the contests I'm in, and then I look at his, you know, season long numbers, and I think there's just a conspiracy where he's actually a one fantasy point per minute guy, and Admore Funds is just lying.
Yeah, it's like, I got him at 12% usage, and I'm pretty sure that he was just like 15 for 19 from the field.
Right.
It's like these things don't compute. Anyway, he's available if you're interested. And then we've got Coby White, 5,300 on FanDuel, 7K on DraftKings. So feel free to just skip him there. But 5,300 on FanDuel seems pretty interesting to me. Coby White played 24 minutes the last time out. I don't know if you've got any read on why that happened and if that's something that we should expect going forward. But how do you feel about Chicago here? Really nice fantasy matchup, pace up spot against San Antonio.
Yeah, pretty favorable pricing as well. I mean, Zach LaVine with guard forward eligibility at 8,300 is pretty easy to get to. I think that looks really good coming off of a game where he played about 38 minutes. So no reason to be concerned about his playing time at this point. DeRozan played 37 minutes last game. He's only 8,500. He looks very similar to LaVine in terms of projection. I think LaVine is the slight preference just because of the guard forward eligibility as opposed to only being a power forward for DeRozan, which makes no sense, but is what it is. Vooch, 9,600. If you get there, you get there. Clearly has a high ceiling, but again, you need him to beat Jovall, Wood, Nurkic, Bam, you know, all of those guys by enough to justify paying that salary. So that's the problem, is you really need that monster game from Vooch. LaVine and DeRozan, the clear priorities for me here.
What's weird is I have no issue that DeRozan is just power forward eligible on DK. I mean, he should probably have small forward, but I don't think that that's outlandish. The NBA would tell you differently because he was only available as a guard on the All-Star ballot.
That's amazing.
Yeah. A man that has not played a single minute at guard this season. Yes, he is a guard All-Star.
Why are they still – I don't understand why they're even still doing guard forward.
I don't know, but because they did, Andrew Wiggins is an All-Star starter.
Yeah. I loved all the people laughing at that. Like, Wiggins, like,
he's good this year. He's good.
Yeah, he is. And by the way that they break it down, he was a very legit option. Like,
yeah.
If they did it in a way that makes more sense, then sure. But like, all the people like clowning it, like, this is a crazy bad pick. Like, one, he's been really good. And two, name the other guys that should have been there that are forwards in the Western Conference.
Yeah, the problem is you can't put in Booker. You can't put in Luka. And, like, let's be clear here. You should be able to, and that would make a lot more sense, and everything would line up correctly. But,
well, I kind of laughed at it because I was out at a bar with my friend, like, 2 weeks ago, and he mentioned that Wiggins was going to make the All-Star team. And I was like, what do you mean he's going to – he said he was going to start. I was like, what do you mean he's going to start? And he's like, start naming forwards in the Western Conference that should be in over Wiggins. And like, everybody that came to mind, it was like, shit, they're not a forward. They're not a forward. They're a center. They're a guard. Like, yeah, it makes a lot more sense than people, I think, realize.
Above average true shooting this season. He's shooting 41% from three. He guards the other team's best defensive wing every time out. Like, he's become really valuable. I said it earlier today, too. When that contract is up, which everybody took a steaming shit on from the moment that he signed it until basically this moment, he's going to sign for it again the next time out. The amount of people that are 6'7" guards that score efficiently and shoot from three. I mean, he's like one of the best. This is going to sound preposterous. He's one of the best 3-and-D players in the league for the role that he's trying to play right now. Those guys get $25 million a year. So be prepared for Andrew Wiggins to continue to make the same amount of money. And people just aren't going to freak out the same way they did before. We can't let the fans do anything, though. That's really the problem here. He shouldn't be a starter, but it's also a completely reasonable outcome the way that it is presented to you.
I mean, the players also voted for Ben Simmons and Grayson Allen, so.
As they should. Do we have anything else here for Chicago?
Everyone Hates Chris said, bro, Wiggins as a starter is ridiculous. Okay, name who should be starting.
Yeah. There aren't a lot of, like, obvious answers. All right, let's Let's move to San Antonio now. We've got DeJounte Murray, 18% owned on FanDuel. And by the way, everybody's available except for Kata Bates-Diop. Murray is 17% owned on FanDuel, 18% owned on FanDuel, whatever you want to say. Nobody else is closer to the five. Then on DraftKings, everybody just has significantly better prices. Murray, White, Pirtle, Johnson, Vassell are all basically like 15% owned. You know, Jakob Pirtle is 8,500 on FanDuel today and 6,400 on DK. I like all five of those guys. I understand why they're getting the ownership. I don't necessarily prioritize them in the same way. I think Keldon Johnson and Devin Vassell are the guys that I'm most interested in, but there's a lot to like for San Antonio.
What was Anthony Edwards listed as?
I'm not entirely sure, but to me, he's basically an equal to Wiggins this year. I wouldn't have had an issue going either direction.
Yeah, yeah, that would have been fine. I didn't know if he was a four or not.
I assume he is.
Yeah, okay, now, but if he wasn't, then we're just, again, arguing the format sucks. If you're going to reach in a hat and pull out a name like Wiggins as a starter, you may as well let Edwards start. Sure, but if Edwards was a different position, then it's a format thing. Like, within the rules, Wiggins is one of the best options.
I'm trying to look it up right now, because I don't...
Ingram's been hurt half the season.
Yeah, no, Ingram's not even close. I would rather have Andrew Wiggins than Brandon Ingram.
I don't have a take there, but I'll say Ingram hasn't been good this year, for one. And two, he's been hurt half the season.
Yeah. But
as far as...
Okay. Edwards is a close shout. Keep going. Yeah. You're good.
As far as DFS goes, more options that look good here. DeJounte Murray at 10K, very similar to Morant, 1.4 DraftKings points per minute. Should play 35, 36 minutes or so. Looks like a very good option. Another reason why, you know, it's kind of difficult to pay all the way up for somebody like Jokic, even though they're different positions. You're getting like a $2,600 discount on DeJounte Murray. Jakob Pirtle, another reason, 6,400, looks like one of the better center options tonight. Should play 32 minutes or so, could play more. He's over a fantasy point per minute guy. They both look fantastic. Derek White, Keldon Johnson, Devin Vassell all look like solid secondary options as well, I think.
Anthony Edwards was a guard. And okay, so the real egregious thing here is that, like, Draymond should start over Wiggins.
Right. I think that's a reasonable one.
Yeah. Honestly, if we're being really honest, Rudy Gobert should start and Jokic should just be the four.
Sure.
If we want to try to get, like, the actual best players on the floor at the same time, that would make a lot more sense. It's fun, though. I didn't expect to like San Antonio as much as I do today, but
Barrett's
I wish that I could
better than Wiggins. Yeah, wrong conference.
Yeah, that's the same thing I saw. Well, that was my response of wrong conference.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Yeah, that's that one's preposterous. Wiggins is not going to be an afterthought. You guys are sleeping on Andrew Wiggins because he wasn't good for the Wolves 6 years ago.
Yep, Draymond over Wiggins, I completely can get on board with.
And that's like a voting quirk. Basically, if like other people got votes, it would push up Draymond because of the way that they weight these scores. It's so wild. Like, Paul George being injured is really what caused this, because he would have just started in place of Wiggins and it wouldn't even been a discussion.
Why does only this season matter for the 2022 All-Star game?
I don't know.
Seems
I wonder why.
Seems kind of self-explanatory.
Yeah, we're not naming the 20, like, this decade's All-Stars. In theory, the only thing that should matter are the 30 games we've played this year, or however the hell many we've played. But, yeah, I don't know. I love that Chad is just losing their mind here. 100% Wiggins becomes Harrison Barnes. That is a terrible comp. But, sure. Whatever you need. Okay. Two more games to go. Let's go to Andrew Wiggins' former team, the Minnesota Timberwolves, 9.5-point dogs in Phoenix, 231 total for Minnesota. This one continues to get confusing. I'm curious to get your thoughts here on whether or not Beverly's going to play, because it doesn't seem it. Questionable tag on Bev, questionable tag on D'Angelo Russell, who got injured yesterday. We don't know this kind of information for today, but What do you like from Minnesota? I don't really like anything, depending on how we start lopping players off.
Yeah, it really depends who's active. And hopefully we get some early news. We did get news pretty early on Beverly yesterday, which is another reason that I think it's kind of unlikely he plays today. If he does play at 4,300, I still think he looked good. That's been sort of the conversation the last couple of days. I think the bigger question, because like if Beverly's in, he looks fine. If he's out, not a whole lot opens up. You know, Jalen Noel as a flyer is fine. But what really I think matters more is if Beverly and Russell are out, or even if just Russell's out, you're likely to get more usage for Towns and for Edwards, more playmaking responsibilities for both guys. I don't think it would make either of them look like priorities either way. I mean, this is still a tough spot at Phoenix in terms of Phoenix being good defensively, but it is also a fast team and two guys that can certainly just put up massive scores.
I hope that, in a way, I hope that Beverly and Noel are just out. It doesn't feel like Beverly's going to be playing in this game, given the way he was basically like not likely to play yesterday in the early afternoon. Makes me feel like that's not going to happen again today. Don't know what to really read into Noel. I thought I would like Minnesota more. I can't really figure out why they're not popping as aggressively as I thought that they would. Weird situation for a 230 total. I thought I would like Minnesota way more than I do. I have Beverly in. He is the guy that I want to get to most if he plays on DK. But at the same time, I'm starting to worry that he can't just come in and play 28 to 30 minutes too.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of just, I think as a whole, they're priced pretty correctly. Like Karl-Anthony Towns, you're fine getting to him, but it's kind of like Vooch. Like, I'm not going to be upset when I see Vooch in a lineup. I'm not going to be upset when I see Towns in a lineup, but I'm also going to know that I need a hell of a game from Towns to hold off that entire mid-range of centers. You know, Anthony Edwards at 7,900 looks good. I think he looks better if Russell's out. But you're kind of, and it's kind of always the case with Edwards, his medium projection isn't typically that good for his salary, but he just has a lot of volatility in his game because he's a high usage guy that's pretty inefficient. So when the shot is falling, he just has ridiculously good games. So it's kind of just guys that I like in tournaments, but I think they're pretty much correctly priced.
Phoenix continues to be wildly shorthanded. We have so many dudes out for this Phoenix Suns team. No Jay Crowder, no DeAndre Ayton, no Campaign, no JaVale, no Kaminsky, no Nader. They haven't touched Cam Johnson's price with any sort of real aggressive nature. So he's 40% owned on both FanDuel and DK. Might be a little too aggressive, but at the same time, he's playing 36 minutes a game and is very, very clearly an incredible value. Booker and Paul are playing like 36 minutes a game in these spots. I think they both look really, really good. Biombo to me at 5,800 on DraftKings, still super viable. If you want to get to Mikal Bridges, go for it. Like, there's a lot to like for Phoenix. Great matchup and increased minutes for everybody.
Yeah, 30 minutes last game for Biombo. You could potentially see even more here. Booker playing a ton, Paul playing a ton, Johnson playing a ton, Bridges playing a ton. Like, this team just looks good. I think Cameron Johnson is clearly the priority at 4,700. It's still just like his salary came up, you know, a little bit from 4,300 last time, but it's still just a situation where for a 0.85 fantasy point per minute guy that's playing 36 minutes, he can have a pretty disappointing game and still at that price just be someone where it's like, yeah, that didn't help me, but I'm still fine. Like, it's not going to kill me. And if he doesn't have a normal game, you kind of just need him. So he still looks really good. I still like Paul. I still like Booker. The pricing, it just gets really interesting in that guard range because, like, I think Chris Paul looks good at 9K. I think Booker looks good at 9,900, but you still have to compare Booker to DeJounte Murray. You have to compare it to Ja Morant. So it's just a lot there, I think, will come down to ownership because I think that you can have your preferences. Like, I think I would lean Morant and then Murray and then Booker, but realistically, they all are the same from a range of outcome standpoint or pretty damn close to it. So a lot of it's just going to come down to ownership on those guys.
Absolutely. Let's see. Yeah. I mean, let's be clear here. Cause we got Chandra saying, ask former NBA players who's better, LeBron and MJ comparisons are a joke. You shouldn't ask the former players anything. Current players voted Carmelo Anthony 12th in the front court in the NBA this year. He might not be the 12th best front court player that plays in Los Angeles right now. So maybe we shouldn't be trusting the players to do shit at all. Klay Thompson is 13th in guards in the Western Conference. Maybe we shouldn't be giving the players the ability to do anything at all ever because they're morons. They have no idea what they're doing. Anytime you're voting Carmelo Anthony into the All-Star game in 2022, I don't even know if he deserved it in 2012. Ready to close this one out?
Yeah.
New York Knicks against the Milwaukee Bucks. Could there be a less interesting late night hammer than this one? Knicks are 9-point dogs in Milwaukee, 215 total. The highest owned guy on the Knicks on DraftKings today is 1.9% owned Julius Randle. RJ Barrett is 13% owned on FanDuel at 6,400, shooting guard, small forward eligible. Randle and Barrett look okay on FanDuel. I don't think that you can reasonably roster a Knick on DraftKings.
Pretty tough. The only one I could see would be Randle at 9,200, but still just no real reason to get there, I don't think. On top of the fact that he's just been god-awful recently, it's just at best he's correctly priced, and there's plenty of guys that aren't today.
This is just a brutal, like, they're slow, the matchup is really hard, and none of these guys have a good price, and basically everything is flipped on its head from a minutes perspective. Like, Kemba doesn't play enough, Alec Burks basically doesn't play, quickly plays like 24 minutes a game. The only guy that you can conceivably like want to get to that could fall into minutes is Quentin Grimes, and I don't even feel like he's playable.
Right, exactly.
The Knicks might be the worst team in the league today, which means that someone or two someones are going to get ruled out at like 8:30 and completely change the script of the Knicks. We'll close it out with Milwaukee. We got Giannis, 11K on FanDuel, small forward, power forward. We've got him 11-8 on DraftKings, power forward, center. He's pulling a little bit of ownership on FanDuel at 17%. We've got Bobby Portis, 10% owned on FanDuel, basically unowned on DraftKings. The center-only eligibility isn't ideal, but I'd be okay getting to a little bit of Jrue Holiday or Bobby Portis. But again, like, and obviously Giannis whenever. I don't even know if Milwaukee looks all that good because this matchup is so terrible.
Yeah, I mean, Portis at 6,500 is just another high upside center option. I think, for example, paying attention to the ownership between him and Jakob Poeltl will be interesting because Poeltl should be higher owned, but there's certainly a chance that you get a bigger gap than is deserved. Portis still likely to give you 30, 32 minutes, but a pretty unappealing matchup for everybody. Giannis, like you said, clearly can just get there whenever you want, but doesn't stand out given, like, I think he's just priced where he should be.
Who's a better play today, Giannis or Nikola Jokic?
Giannis because of position, probably.
Yeah. And, I mean, $800 helps. But
yeah,
it's just easier to get to Giannis.
Yeah. I mean, like, I like the matchup a lot better for Jokic. But, yeah, it's just I think you can kind of build higher up. I think, and maybe I'm wrong just forgetting somebody, but I feel like power forward's one spot where we didn't really point to anybody that we really liked. So get it, like, relative to salary at least. Yeah. So I mean, other than, so Cameron Johnson, but
Miles Bridges.
Yeah, you can play him at small forward though.
Sure.
But so
those,
I mean,
are like the only forward, two, like, those two guys are on a completely different planet than every other person that's listed as power forward today.
Right. Yeah. Basically what I'm getting at is, like, if Giannis were a point guard, it's like, yeah, cool, you can just go to Morant, you can go to DeJounte Murray, you can go to all those guys. Power forward's, like, I think got the least opportunity cost. But again, with multi-position eligibility, there's also the factor of you have to compare across positions. So I think that they're both tough sells. I do think I would get to Giannis before Jokic, though, just because of positions.
God, the LeBron MJ stuff just makes my blood boil. LeBron never had the killer instinct like MJ. This is a dude that averaged a triple-double against the best basketball team ever and dragged them to multiple finals. Like, he did more in a series against the Warriors than I've basically ever seen anybody do to carry a basketball team. He was leading the team in points, rebounds, and assists constantly. I don't know what else that dude could have done to step up to the moment. It's insane. Apologies for not beating the 72-10 Golden State Warriors with regularity. Ooh, good God. One last question for you before we get out of here. It's 10:56. Are any of the players 10K or higher good plays relative to their salary today?
I mean, good, yes, in that they're like guys like Jokic and Giannis can do extremely well. But
yeah,
they just don't look nearly as good at their prices as the Morant, Murray, LaMelo, Booker type guys do.
Yeah, it's a really weird slate. Now, maybe that changes if we start. We don't really have a ton of value at the bottom. If that starts opening up, then the Jokic's and the Giannis's of the world are just going to look a little bit better because it's just going to be easier for them. But I think that does it here. Do you got anything else you want to add?
Nope.
All righty. So injury report video and GPP videos, are they still happening today?
Yep.
We're not going to get Adam on the deeper dive. I am back with Lofty tonight. So wherever that idiot is that was really happy or really hates me, doesn't want me anywhere near the lock shows. Congratulations, buddy. I'm on the deeper dive tonight. So I hope I'm spoiling your Friday. Would really make me feel good if I did. Hit that like button if you haven't already. Subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell. Daryl Ward, if your 5 minutes are up from the ban that, just for the record, I did not give you, please be advised. You get an hour and 15 minutes of me starting at 4:45 later tonight. I hope it makes everything better for you. That's all I got. Hey, good luck.
I do have one thing to add.
Oh, this should be good.
Before we get out of here.
Go for it.
DeMar DeRozan would do in the 90s what Michael Jordan did.
I agree. Hell, he's doing it now in 2022. There you go. DeMar DeRozan is Michael Jordan, courtesy of Adam. That's what you need to know, and you guys love Adam. So we're leaving on that note. Good luck, everybody. Win that money. I'll see you guys on the deeper dive. Peace.